Let's call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law 1975, Chapter 231 have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Conry?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Thompson?
First up, we have the minutes of May 5th.
Motion approved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Correspondence? Set the motion to receive and file before we do anything else?
I move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We'd like to grant the requests. What are we doing?
We grant the request for, what was the first one, the canna?
For the outdoor dining tables.
Correct, as long as they're in conformance to our requirements.
I second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? For the block party.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Just Pat, if you would make sure that Christine lets them know all the requirements for the road department and things like that, get all that taken care of for them.
That copy should be sent to the police department, fire department, and the squad.
Yes. Okay, any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Reverend, do you know the drill for us?
Yes, I do. Reverend Bucknight, Mount Pisgah AME Church, 169 North Lincoln Avenue. A couple of issues. Some know, some don't know. We had a problem on Sunday with the house next door to us, 167. That likes to park the cab of his truck. This weekend he bought the entire tractor trailer. And not only is it a problem because of the weight, but it sticks out into the street halfway, so they came through, people were coming through the canal, they're cutting across the street, there are cars in our parking lot, and then when the conversation began, it went from calm and cooperative to nasty. And one of the comments was that he never spoke with Christine about anything. And it was our understanding from Christine's report that she had spoken to him about other concerns and issues with him parking his truck on the street. His issue was he had very valuable material inside of the truck and he couldn't leave it out of his sight. We asked the officer. The officer said he wasn't sure what the weight limit was. And I ended up finding the ordinance, which is 4 tons, on no streets in the borough. That street is for deliveries. And we're just continuing to have more problems, not only with that truck, but with other people now coming through the end of the canal. And we have more children on the street. And they're not slowing down. So we're trying to find out, one, what's going to be done with this issue of this truck. He's a renter. He's not a resident. He's a resident, but he's a renter. So his investment in what's going on in our community and our street, it's not important to him. And I'm fine until folks start cursing at me. And that was totally uncalled for.
What, if I could, Reverend, what did the officer say?
The officer said he didn't know what the ordinance was and he had to leave and come back.
Did he come back?
He came back. We were already in worship. It took him a good 20, 25 minutes.
Did the officer do
He spoke to him again. He finally moved the truck, but it wasn't without words. And I know he's tired of us, but we're concerned. Because it's not only the truck, but there's a pool. And the pool now has the temporary fence. It's a plastic construction fence. And again, we have a host of children on our streets.
Did you get in touch with Mr. Bashir about that today?
He was already up on the avenue, but we're still trying to contact him again to make sure that he has been on the street.
I mean, obviously, we must let the law work its, have its due diligence. You know, report anytime that truck is there, and the police will come out and have them move it. I'm sure Mr. Bashir will be on the pool. Don't you think so, Dave?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got tickets for it.
Come again?
Long time ago.
I had fence. A real one.
Yeah, this isn't a real one.
What kind of fence is needed for a pool, Dave? Is it plastic?
I thought it was a permanent fence.
Or it has to be like a chain link?
It's got to be a chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's an easy fix.
I mean, we've been tolerant, we've asked, we've had motorcycles in the middle of worship, we've had music, we've had parking, and we're trying to make sure that we just, if you ask us because there's a situation, to park in the parking lot, we don't have a problem with that. But to not, and then when we ask you, it's just getting ridiculous. And I think the police are getting, they're going to have to come out every time.
Yeah.
And he said, every time it happens, call them. But then the officers look at us sometimes like, oh, you're calling us again, and it's the same person again. Some are cooperative, some are great, and others are just like, can't we all just get along?
Between the neighbors' dispute, you know, there's a lot of difficulty in the police getting involved in it. You know, it all depends on where that line is drawn as to where they're actually breaking the law versus just being a nuisance to be a nuisance. You know, if it's just being a nuisance to be a nuisance for whatever reason, there's very little that the governing body or the police can do. It has to be an actual breaking of the law. You know, and I'm sure you understand that.
Mayor, you might want to suggest to Mr. Bashir that he look into the question of whether parking a tractor trailer in a residential neighborhood is not a problem.
No, it's not. It's not. They're commercial vehicles.
It's commercial vehicles. Yeah.
Right. And that may be a zoning violation.
But we have a recent ordinance prohibiting weight over a certain weight on the street.
Four times.
Oh, that, okay. That's not, is that the police power ordinance or is that the zoning ordinance?
That is police power.
Okay.
That has to do with parking.
Right. So in other words, you're saying use of the public road is limited to four times.
Use of the public road, parking.
Okay.
Parking. Hey, but
there's also maybe a zoning issue. Because, in other words, having a commercial vehicle, I'm not sure what the ordinance is, but I would suggest that when you talk to Mr. Bashir, raise the issue as to whether or not parking, because you said he had the trailer on there. Which
the whole
is
not,
yeah,
thing.
Is it 40-foot, 50-foot long?
Well, we just passed an ordinance with a trailer.
No trailer.
That is zoning.
Yeah, okay. So Rudy Bashir, who never tends to be too laid back about things, might be useful to have that discussion.
Now, will that come into conflict, or will he say that because we do have JCP&L has their private road at the end of our street? Is that going to be something that he might be able to use, or we might be challenged on?
Nothing to do with the public road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that Rudy ought to take a look at that and examine that from the standpoint of whether that's a commercial vehicle in a resident, it's a residential zone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Commercial vehicle
nothing
in
commercial.
A residential zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be an issue.
Okay.
So that's something to explore in that regard.
We see that the work is being done on the library on all the curbing.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the next question.
Awesome. We're good.
Because us thought it was today because another resident was having work done, and they parked vehicles, and we're like, did we miss something?
No, the curb is finished. The sidewalk is scheduled to be put in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a nice day. There's no reason it shouldn't be. Once that is complete, we are also scheduling the paver at this point. And so once the paving company has an opening and gets back to us, it'll get completed.
Is there any way we can notify the residents in advance that...
Well, we'll have to. Once we get a scheduled date, we'll notify all the residents on the street of when that date is going to be, because it'll likely be one day for milling, one day for paving, because they subcontract out their milling services to another company.
Okay.
That's it for me.
If not, you know where to find us.
Nope, I need to switch over to private resident now.
Okay.
Washington, West Washington, across the street from the H&R Block, there was a wall. It's almost like it's supposed to be the wall for their yard that collapsed last year, and it's still pouring out into the sidewalk. So if you're walking, you have to...
On the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Corner of Prospect.
Mm-hmm. Still rolling out into the street. And we're wondering, because there are those of us who are back to walking and some who have been walking, and they have to go out in the street. So it's that question.
Okay. That's going to make another back.
Okay.
Christine, not it?
Good evening. My name is Kathy Bryant. I live at 41 Elizabeth Avenue, Washington, New Jersey, and I speak on behalf of Mount Piscataway Church as a member of the trustee board. The officer in question is Jerry Magyar. Okay. So I advise that when officers do come out to try to settle disputes, either radio in to someone here, or, you know, it's sort of challenging when you got to leave the area, go back to the police station to look up this information, then come back. So I don't see how effective and efficient the officer is working. So maybe that's something that can be in a training exercise.
If I may, Ms. Bryant, I spoke to Ms. Blanchard about that today.
Mm-hmm.
The process that it goes through is a new ordinance like that we passed. It goes to the Deputy Chief Cicero, and he's supposed to disseminate it out to all of the officers. How that happens internal to the police department, I could not tell you, but that's how it is from our end. They were noticed about it, so... Did he forget it? Perhaps, because it was a few months ago.
Okay, well.
You know, sometimes that, you know, you can't remember everything.
Okay. It becomes a little challenging when you have a resident saying that he can park, and then he has an 18-wheeler on the street, and we're thinking, this can't be.
Right.
You know, and plus, when you all want to pave the roads, I think that's going to be detrimental to the roads, having an 18-wheeler parked on the street.
Yes.
So that's something I think you all need to really consider and, you know, take care of. But I'm speaking on behalf of 149 North Lincoln Avenue. It's a condemned house that's been condemned for the past, 7, 8, 9 years perhaps, and I'm being very conservative with that number. And so Christine wrote a note on a piece of blank paper, nothing but letterhead from the borough council stating what was the next step. My question is, if a notice was put on the house, and I'm saying 7, 8 years is conservative, that is, the house is considered condemned, the homeowner was notified. The homeowner failed to have the house torn down. Why is it that I have to come back 10 years later, and now we're talking about, you know, we're waiting for the banks, there's a number of homes that are being deemed condemned, so now it's in the bank's hands, we're waiting to work this process out. I don't understand if there's an ordinance that the zoning commissioner or whoever the person in charge has to do with this and acts upon it. Why is it not enacted upon it? Why is it that we have to come back and raise this issue to you, to the council, before anything is being done?
It
doesn't make sense to me.
Refresh my memory on this a little bit. Do we know who the bank is that owns it?
The council knows who the owner was 8, 9 years ago. They received the notice. They received notification saying that either they took the responsibility of tearing the house down, or the town would. And so...
This was 8 or 9 years ago?
At least.
Okay.
And I'm being
very...
It
was well in the past. It wasn't...
Yeah.
Six
I'm being very conservative with my number. So I'm just trying to understand, why hasn't that been enacted upon? You all have it, or there are ordinances. I did look it up.
Yeah.
So in order for something to be done, we got to come and tell you, hey, what's going on, before we get a comment back. And then the response is,
It's in the bank's hands. We have a number of houses that are being deemed condemned, so we're going through this whole process. I think the process should have taken place at least 8 years ago.
You're probably right.
And so that's the challenging part that I have here. Because if we don't, and we have to be in your face, but if we're not in your face, nothing gets done on North Lincoln Avenue. Nothing gets done. And it shouldn't be that way. Because these folks, they pay taxes just like everyone else does here. And you would not want that in your neighborhood. So why is it okay for them to have it in their neighborhood? You all don't see it every day. You don't have to live across it every day. And so I hope that this issue gets resolved. I asked that if Christine, you know, if she has any type of documentation, type me a letter up. I don't appreciate a handwritten letter on a piece of notepad. Anyone could have written that and signed her name to it. It wasn't official at all. So I just need to understand where we're at with this process and what's the expected date, you know, what needs to take place before any action is going to occur.
Who condemned the property?
I believe Rudy put a sticker on it.
Did you condemn the property?
No, the state did.
Oh, the state did, okay.
Do you know when?
Three years ago now. Prior to that, we're talking about the property on North Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, as long as it's been 3 years ago.
The owner was cited. He got a building permit, tore down the back portion that was collapsing. He had permits for the building, but he wasn't able to do any more than tear the back of the building down. 2 years ago, went into foreclosure. Mm-hmm. I did not know who the bank was, okay? I don't know if you're aware of it, but mortgagers sell a lot of mortgage properties amongst themselves, mm-hmm, and chase them down. The state code now that came in last year, they have to notify us, but we have a lot of abandoned properties that they're being serviced by a tax service company paying their taxes, real estate taxes. And they have refused to give me who the mortgager is, but they assure me they're sending an email to the mortgager about the property.
Well, the story conflicts because Christine told me a few months ago that they knew who the owner was. And they were in contact with it. So there's a conflict of...
Well, she did send me an email stating that they knew who the owner was, but they had to get together with you and...
Leslie,
right, in regards to it, because they cannot just tear it down because it's still with the bank. And if they tear it down, then the town is responsible for the cost, so they got to know who to build this cost back to.
Right.
So that is the last that what Christine told me as well.
Is that notice still on? Is that notice, mm-hmm, still on the property?
It's faded.
It's
so faded.
Okay, I don't remember right off the top of my head.
And the
cost
should have to
get
itself
with the cost. I have to look and consider.
Is that the construction people from Pattonburg that put that in there?
Antwerp.
Yeah. That,
yeah.
It was condemned because of structural reasons or because of health reasons?
Structural, because of the condition that has been, mm-hmm, neglected over a number of years.
It should have been constructed for structural and health reasons, because there's all types of rodents that run in and out of there. So,
but that wouldn't be the same people that would condemn it for that.
Do you know if there are there existing code violations? Do you know? Rudy doesn't,
yeah,
do code. He does,
mm-hmm,
zoning, right.
There's more in the fire code on violations than are on the verbal ordinance. There isn't.
Under the construction code, there's no construction code violations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the permits have expired,
uh-huh,
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is the house boarded up?
Huh?
Is the house boarded up?
Somewhat.
Okay. Does it present, you know, I know you're not the construction code official, but does it look like
code issues existing?
Oh, definitely.
Has the state been in there to cite them again recently?
Not recently, to my knowledge.
Okay.
We've got about, I think, four or five properties in the same condition.
Yep.
That the state has condemned as unsafe structures.
Oh, it was, this was designated as an unsafe structure?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've talked to the state about it.
Yep.
And they said that the state is in the same position as the borough is in. They don't have the money to move forward to demolish it.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So, it's, you know, one hand pushing off to the other hand. Who wants to take the initiative on it? And this one, as well as all the other ones.
Okay, so, as I recall, you guys have an unfit building ordinance, okay, that creates a little mechanism for, like a hearing to the owner of the building. And I think Leslie did a abandoned properties ordinance, right, for the borough?
Mm-hmm.
And that should have required the mortgagee to notify the borough under that ordinance of its ownership and, well, shouldn't say ownership, its initiation of a pursuit of its lien on the property. Do we know if that was done?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that probably is something, because it's very, it's like a $2,500 fine per day.
Right.
If you don't, if the mortgagee doesn't actually do what they're supposed to do in terms of identifying
right.
who they are. The practical problem that you have with these abandoned properties, and after the Great Recession, it's been a disaster for so many towns,
mm-hmm.
is that you got the property, and if it's been deemed an imminent hazard, and you can get it torn down, the problem is, you know, there's a whole little process that you have to go through in order to do that. But then it becomes a question of economics, mm-hmm. you know, which, now, in this instance, maybe with the mortgagee on the property, maybe my office can get a letter off. I'll speak to Leslie tomorrow about it and see if we can get, the identification of the bank and bring the ordinance to their attention forcibly. And then maybe that'll get some progress on that. The practical problem is these folks have 2% caps that they have to deal with, so there's not a lot of free cash floating
mm-hmm.
around to actually do the demolition, which I'm sure they'd love to do.
Right.
But if it seems to me that we could bring some pressure to bear to try to help out here. The other thing is if you got rodents and stuff, would the Board of Health ought to be called in
mm-hmm.
because they don't do anything? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I have abandoned properties on my street, too.
Yeah.
I called everybody.
He wrapped one out the building. There's one on Church Street.
The mortgage company has a company from Georgia come up and take it. I mean, they're not even from around here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. The health department doesn't want anything to do with it because if the health department does it, the county health department, then they're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's a big circle. The county doesn't have the money to do it.
If I refer or if something is referred to the health department, they call me or give it back to me because you're the code enforcement, you are board, and they don't like that.
Okay. County really standing behind you there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
We really need to have the attorney back us on this, though. You need to bring in power because I had a job site in Kearney where the neighboring property, we were supposed to support it to access the cleanup
mm-hmm.
of heating oil spill. And when we went to support it, our engineer found out that it had balloon framing and that the place was unlivable. I mean, the building would collapse at any moment. And we tried to fight it, the company, and it went nowhere for 2-3 years. And as soon as we got an attorney involved and the state came in and the Board of Health, and you get everything in one spot.
Right, right, right.
And I think we need to do something like that. It's bringing the value down of all the adjacent homes.
Absolutely.
Dave said he's got one on his street. I have one on my street.
We have one.
Well,
two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet we could all name one.
Yeah.
And
a couple blocks.
That is an unsafe house.
It's been a long time. And I'm saying that if it was done properly the first time when the notice went on, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you because the owner was there. He'd been responsible for it, but was never followed up on. And so my frustration is I come to these council meetings you know, week after week after week, you know, minus a couple of weeks, and it's the same thing. So I agree. We do need to have concerted efforts to resolve this issue. So what I would like to see is, you know, when I come back next Tuesday, at least have some new information to provide to me, not the same information over and over and over again.
What's the number on Lincoln Avenue again?
149 North Lincoln Avenue. Thank you.
Julie Coleman, 166 North Lincoln Avenue. I'm the person that called the police on Sunday, an officer Melier. Did come out and he did go back. He came back with a book, and I asked him what year was the book he was looking at, and he checked up the order. He said 2007. So therefore, I mean, he should have known something. I said, "Where are you from?" He's not from around here, from Rawley. But however, when this gentleman had to move his truck, he made my husband move his van because he said it was over 4 tons. So it's my understanding that no one in the borough can park on the street if you have a van that's 4 tons or over.
According to the new ordinance.
Because if so, then you have a lot of work to be done because of those other van on the street. And I really don't care about the other van because it doesn't present a problem. But because the gentleman had to move his, now he wants to, you know. So
everybody's got to do it.
I think the ordinance just was
on the street.
I think it just specifically said street.
Okay.
On the street. Pardon me?
On the street. So which is it? This, can you park in your driveway?
Mm-hmm. Should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the street.
You should. Right. I don't know why there would be.
You want to just
specific to the street.
Yeah.
If you're in your driveway, you should be fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
He can't fit that big old trailer in his driveway.
No. And, you know, if he was to pull off and you don't see why little kids are constantly up and down in the street riding their bicycles, they're little tots. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of little kids on our street. And, you know, you have to watch. If he's not going to look out for them, that's what
right.
I thought.
Well, in Emmaus, there was just an 11-year-old girl killed in a pedestrian mm-hmm. vehicle accident.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was hurt and seriously injured in it.
Yeah, so I really appreciate it. And I'm not trying to make trouble for anyone, but, you know, the law is the law.
What did you have to move your van to, your husband's van?
I asked the pastor if he could park it in the church parking lot until I found out. He drives for abilities.
Oh, okay. And that was
Sunday because he had to move the truck, so the officer made him move the van. What's that? Yeah, I said I had a law of the law.
Yeah.
Fine. You know, I don't mind complying to what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to know. Thank you so much.
I don't think so.
No.
4 tons is 16,000 pounds. No, 4 tons is 8,000.
8,000. 8,000 isn't real big.
Mm-mm. What size van is it?
Mr. Coleman, does your van have a weight on that?
Me with
a
van, I have.
9,100 pounds. 9,100 empty?
So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
The van?
So, I mean, the smallest.
It is, prospect.
The smallest U-Haul truck is 8,000.
That's the same thing. Mm-hmm. When the emergency truck is parked up, you can't park it on the street on 9 either, right?
Right. Okay, anyone else from the audience? Accept the motion to close the audience portion?
Move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, first off, we have other ordinances for 2015. Someone would move that?
So move. Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on Ordinance 4, 2015, which is appropriating $6,000, up to $6,000 for a zero-turn lawnmower.
Motion to close public?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And a motion to adopt?
Make a motion to adopt.
Second. Any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Ordinance 5-2015 for introduction.
So moved.
Second.
And that would be for clerk to read by title only also. Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Yes.
Ordinance 5-2015. Ordinance providing funding for various capital purchases, or purposes, sorry, for the Borough of Washington and appropriating $298,000 for such purposes.
Motion to approve on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Another roll call?
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Thompson? McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Publication date?
Public hearing of ordinance 5-2015 will be June 16th, 2015. An advertisement of the public hearing in the Star Gazette on May 29th, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Reports.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports this evening?
Just that we're having a street meeting on the 26th to 3:15 at Dawson Park.
Any other reports?
Senior Advisory Committee, we had our sand strip on Saturday. Everything went very successful. Everyone had a wonderful time. Yeah.
Good. We have no old business, so we'll move on to new business. The COA discussion that we're going to have, we're going to do an executive session. But just for the public's purposes, I'll let Mr. Cushing speak a little bit about the court rulings that have happened and how that may affect us.
Yeah, you have in your package, I think, tonight, a report from Steve Gruenberg and also a report from your planner that gives a little background information. And I won't spend too much time, but I think it might be worthwhile getting on the record, you know, what is going on and the situation that the borough is in with respect to affordable housing. And very basically, back in the 1980s, I think it was, the Supreme Court of New Jersey came up with a decision, the Mount Laurel decision, arising out of Mount Laurel, New Jersey. And at that time, there was a tremendous amount of development going on in New Jersey, and the Supreme Court felt that municipalities were not allowing for the construction of low and moderate income housing, so that a segment of the market wasn't being satisfied. So it passed the Mount Laurel case, which basically said municipalities had to make provisions for affordable housing. It came to pass that the amount of affordable housing that was actually being constructed wasn't at the level that the Supreme Court had wanted. So you have the second Mount Laurel case, which created what the concept of what's called a builder's remedy, okay? And basically, a builder's remedy provided that if a municipality didn't pass a housing plan element for its master plan and didn't actually make provisions through ordinances for the construction of affordable housing, then a builder could come in and basically strip the municipality of its zoning power and would be afforded the remedy that he sought, which would be often multifamily housing or large amounts of housing with some affordable housing being built in connection with that. So that led to a great hue and cry at that time, and the legislature came up with its own solution, created an agency under the New Jersey Finance Act, which provided that the agency called Council on Affordable Housing, or COA is the way it's abbreviated and referred to very commonly. Basically, COA was given the responsibility to oversee the affordable housing obligations of municipalities throughout the state of New Jersey. So COA got going. There is always in these cases the dispute about how much affordable housing does the state need, and then how do you take that statewide need and allocate it to municipalities. So COA came up with some plans. There were, again, controversies and battles over this area and going back and forth. And ultimately, there was a new plan developed by COA called Growth Share, okay? And essentially, this approach by COA said, if your municipality is going to grow, then you have to bear a proportionate share of the affordable housing needs that's created by that growth. And you remember, that's probably still true, that back in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, municipalities wanted to try to gobble up as many ratables as they could. Didn't really want a lot of school kids because school kids were expensive. So they wanted factories, they wanted office buildings and things like that. But they didn't want to provide the housing to go along with it. So at that time, COA came up with this plan that said, look, if you want to grow and you want to grab these ratables, then you're going to have to be responsible for providing affordable housing to go along with that. So that was the plan that was created. Municipalities grumbled, but they kind of went along with it. The builders were not entirely enthralled with it. And there is various groups called fair housing advocate groups. They were unhappy with it because they felt that that particular growth share plan that was adopted by COA didn't really incorporate the Mount Laurel 2 decision and the requirements of the Supreme Court. So they sued. And of course, there's been a lot of suing in this particular area, okay? So they sued, they took it up. A very prominent judge, Judge Skillman in the appellate division, found that, in fact, that the fair share housing advocates were correct, that the growth share methodology, okay, didn't, in fact, reflect what the Supreme Court had directed in terms of fulfilling this constitutional obligation. So that was set aside. And so there were more battles between the builders on one side and the fair share housing advocates, and on the other side, the municipalities. And ultimately, COA was told by the Supreme Court that it had to adopt new rules that reflected the requirements of the Mount Laurel 2 decision. So we had a new governor at that point in time. And so what happened is that COA started to develop the rules but wasn't making a lot of progress. The people went back to the Supreme Court and said, COA's not doing its job. And the Supreme Court said, you're right, COA, you have to do it within a certain period of time. Ultimately, about a year ago, COA was faced with a new set of affordable housing rules known as now the COA rules, and it has some bearing on you going forward. And what happened is that the Supreme Court, it came before COA as to whether or not there would be an approval of these new rules, and COA split 3-3. Three voted in favor of it, three voted against it. So it's a tie, it doesn't carry. Back up to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, during the argument, said to the Attorney General, what's COA doing? The Attorney General had to admit COA was doing nothing. So the Supreme Court was faced with a situation that its mandate to provide for affordable housing was not being carried out by COA, that COA was essentially not doing its job. So what the Supreme Court did in March of this year, it issued an opinion that said, okay, we're taking away the functions of COA, we're moving them back to the judiciary, to the judges. We're appointing 15 affordable housing judges across the state of New Jersey, and we're identifying three categories of municipalities. One were those municipalities that have what they call substantive certification from COA, meaning COA had blessed their affordable housing plan. The second category, which I think you were in, which is those municipalities that have made efforts to actually get approval of their plan, and, but they never got it because COA became ineffective at some point in time, and so COA wasn't processing the applications. And then the third category was those municipalities that just did nothing, okay? So what the court said, the first two categories, this is what would happen. By July 8th of this year, those municipalities who want to get approval from the court for their affordable housing plans need to come in to the Superior Court and issue a and seek a declaratory judgment action, seeking to get the court to give what would be the equivalent of substantive certification if COA was still active. So basically what you would be asked to do is to go into court, tell the court what you've done, tell the court what your future plans are. The judge would then take a look at it, and if the judge agreed that your plan was reasonable, then the judge would give it his or her approval, and then going forward, you would be protected to a large extent from builder's remedies. So in other words, a builder wouldn't be able to come into town and say, back with your zoning, here's what I want to build in your town, and I'm going to build a certain amount of affordable housing to go along with it, and we don't care what you like or anything else, I get to set the rules because I'm a builder who's going to afford, who's going to get a builder's remedy. So that's all well and good, okay? The problem is the Supreme Court didn't address one critical question, okay? And the critical question is, what is the proper number? Okay, and this number has been fought about for years and years and years. And there are competing methodologies as to what the correct number should be. There is the methodology that was actually promoted by COA, but never actually approved by them, known as the COA methodology or the Burchell methodology after the planner who designed it. And then there's a competing methodology from Fair Share Housing, which requires a much larger number of units of affordable housing to be built. And so the problem is no one knows how it's going to be determined as to what the correct number is. So part of the problem is you're being asked to design something, but you don't know how big it is, how wide it is, how deep it is, but you're told you have to design it. So the question that I think you're going to have to decide, and we're going to talk about a little bit in the executive session, which is, okay, what kind of strategy do you come up with to deal with this? And in connection with this, no one really knows. I was in front of one of the affordable housing judges today on another matter, and I think it's fair to say that even though he's a very prominent judge in this area, he and his fellow judges haven't figured out exactly what they're going to do. But generally our recommendation is you want to be cautious in this area, because if you look at what your planner supplied you, which I have to come up with right here, if you looked at your numbers originally, your numbers were very modest. In the memo from Susan Gruhl, basically, if you looked at the COA numbers, the COA, the ones that were never passed, it's about 10 units. Very manageable, not shocking at all. On the other hand, if you look at the Fair Share Housing numbers, it's 243. Now, bear in mind, 243 is not the total number of units built. That's the total number of affordable housing units built, and that normally gets built by multiplying that number by five, okay? So you get five units and one affordable housing unit, and the reason that is the way it is because the builders argue that in order for them to justify the cost of building an affordable housing unit, which they may sell or rent really at cost, they need to make a profit on these other four units. So you can see that there is an important impact on the borough as to what number is actually adopted. So we could talk in executive session a little bit with the governing body, because obviously you don't want to give away the, you know, what the borough is going to do publicly, but I think an executive session discussion, and then you may want to come back out of executive session depending on what you decide, because you have a draft resolution in your package of something you might want to do, And if you go that route, then the governing body would actually adopt this resolution. So, anybody has any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
When did they reduce the rate to five?
I'm sorry, Dave.
It was 8-1. And the last time we, for round two, they told us we were at 129% of our required.
That's mentioned in there, that you had excessive you had excessive units.
I remember it as we were in excess of about 140 units. I don't know if you remember the percent.
We were at 129% of what we were supposed to be.
Yeah, and that was for round two certification, not round three, and nobody knew what round three was. We still don't know what round three is.
You're right. And no one knows what it is.
Yeah,
it's people have opinions.
It's clear as mud. But it's CYA time.
So that's the background. Another great mandate from the state, right?
Right, that they still don't know what they're doing yet.
The ironic part about this entire situation is that back in the 80s, the suburban areas were developing very heavily residentially. Mm-hmm. Since the Great Recession, municipalities out in the western part of the state are losing population. I'm not sure. I can't remember with Warren. I know Hunterdon's down like 10,000 people. People, builders are simply not building in the area. There's not that much land. And yet the eastern part of the state, along the Hudson River there, is developing like crazy. It has all the infrastructure. It has all the roads. People want to be next to New York City. My kids all want to live east. You know, they don't want to live around. And so people are moving to the eastern part of the state, and yet if you look at the numbers that have been assigned to towns, Washington Township, Washington Borough, and Huntington County, some of them have a 1,000-unit requirement, Reddington, Raritan, and you think, now wait a minute, who's going to build all those houses out here? And I was in court with a builder today, and the builder said he's building affordable housing down in Franklin Township and Hillsborough. He can't fill his affordable housing units because for a whole bunch of reasons. Either people can't qualify for mortgages, or the rentals are too high or too low or whatever. And so you've got this kind of odd situation where you don't have a big demand to justify the affordable housing. You don't have the infrastructure. You don't have the transportation. And the growth is in the eastern part of the state. And a lot of the towns in the eastern part of the state have no problem absorbing, because they've got fairly good-sized development. They want to develop. And, you know, quite frankly, affordable housing is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to work, though. You know?
You have to actually need it.
You have to need it. And the other thing is you need to be able to get folks around, you know. You've got to have the infrastructure.
I think I have a question for you.
Sure, Dave.
When they came up with the Highlands planning and
preservation.
Yes. There was something in there, I think, about, you know, one town could sell their COA rights to another town.
Well, those were RCAs, regional contribution agreements, okay?
Right.
They were changed. Basically what an RCA was, a regional contribution agreement, if, like, I live in Lambertville, okay? So if Flemington or Raritan Township didn't feel that it could fulfill its needs, it could sell some units down to Lambertville, and Lambertville could rehabilitate some housing in Lambertville. So a lot of towns shifted. It was like 20% or 40% or something like that. I think I saw on your thing here that you had some RCAs.
Colesburg was probably the
big recipient. Yeah, you're right. And I always thought they made sense. There were some political reasons that they were frowned upon. And so they were that option was taken away from municipalities. So that's what happened with that.
Okay. Well, let's move on to resolution 87-2015. Stop payment and replace the check.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Klimko? Yes, here. Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Do 88, 89, and 90 together. They're all redemptions of the taxes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Any discussion on any of those? Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, vouchers.
You want to do Resolution 92? That was on our list.
Not until after the executive.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on our vouchers? Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
That takes us to our recap. Ms. Titus, what did we give you to give to Ms. Blanchard to do?
I have two things regarding the block party, to make sure that they know all the rules and that the proper authorities are notified. And then also the corner of West Washington and Prospect, the block wall has fallen into the sidewalk.
You could also, I guess, make a note for her for the home on North Lincoln.
149.
Follow up on that.
Okay.
See where it stands. Okay. Council remarks. Ms. Klimko.
I just have one remark.
He's coming out of his office now.
Okay. One of the things I had a question regarding was similar to theirs, about a trailer from one of our businesses that is continuously parking on Washington Avenue, and it's not attached or anything, it's just a trailer sitting there. I just wanted to ask Rudy, because I think it would to go down and check on it.
Yeah, that's state property, state highway, right?
But it still falls within the borough of Washington.
Yeah, but I think the state laws will supersede ours, Dave, do you?
No.
Not in that case for parking.
Not in that for parking.
Because
of okay, there's Rudy if you want to ask him about it now.
Ben Griff, the trailer, parked on the street.
Yes. Do you want to see Ms. Reggie?
Okay.
Last communication I had, she gave him, he called and requested permission to park again.
He was parked there all weekend, he was parked there again last night.
I don't know how long she gave him proof of the park. So that's why I backed off.
Okay. Anything else?
Something else I was going to talk about was they touched on it with the tractor trailers going up Belvedere, down Carlton, North Lincoln, and in front of Filbert's, the putting out of the benches and drilling the holes in the concrete to secure the benches there. Don't know where that is, though.
Okay. I don't have an answer for you personally. But it is. In our ordinance that allows the tables and chairs, Dave, do you remember this? Does it not require that they are brought in at closing?
No.
No?
They do have to get permission from the council to put anything out there.
Okay.
That I do know. And then it's pretty wimple, but I don't know if anybody needs it. Most of anything for the sidewalk.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's a question for Ms. Blanchard tomorrow.
Council will be getting a letter from Governor's requesting that surety.
Okay. Asking for forgiveness rather than permission.
Ignorance.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yes, that's it.
Okay,
everyone
Mr.
have a wonderful Memorial Day.
Yes, something for Christine to do. Can see we passed a new parking ordinance in December of last year. And she ensures that that new ordinance is again sent to the police department for dissemination. He showed up tonight. Our esteemed
old attorney here.
Years ago.
See why I don't show up? The abuse?
No. Not anymore. But I don't know if anybody else got the notification in the mail that Mr. Cushing was bestowed, and forgive me, Dick, the award was like one of the top attorneys in the state of New Jersey. Is that correct?
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
So I just want to let everyone know that we have capable hands guiding our legal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it. I'm good.
Mr. Heinberg.
I was hoping to have an answer tonight for you regarding the lighting. We did find an electrician that was supposed to evaluate the existing ballasts to see if they were compatible with the LED lighting that we're proposing. Having a hard time getting an answer back, and I actually emailed the electrician and copied the manager just to show that, for evidence that we're trying to get this guy to come out and do an evaluation. We have to keep in mind that it's being done for free. So give it another week or two. He's busy. He's probably just got to find a spot to come in and evaluate this building and get the two other buildings, the library and the garage, the DPW garage, which we're going to look at that because you guys are claiming that that's already been done or something was done recently there.
No, we agreed that the school will pay. We're paying for it.
For the solar?
For the solar. The lighting was done. There was a study done 2 years ago.
Longer than that. Yeah, because they did change some lights
efficiency
downstairs.
Yeah, three and a half years ago. Christine provided that to me. But like I said in the beginning, things have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just got to wait patiently, and I'll keep following through. Mm-hmm. He's a good electrician. He's notorious for this, but he's a good electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have spray on hair.
What?
Anything else, Mr. Reimer?
That's it.
Okay, there's no...
I attended the Route 57 Scenic Byway meeting as a representative of Washington Borough on May 11th, along with Richard Thompson. And there were representatives from all of the municipalities on the Scenic Byway, which goes from, I guess there's Greenwich Township, Franklin, Washington Township and Borough, Mansfield Township, Hackettstown, and Lopatcom. And there were representatives from every town, and everyone agreed that they would like to move forward to start a committee with the help of the Warren County Planning Department Director, because if we don't do that, then we could lose that scenic byway designation. So they were asking for members of the town, somebody to be appointed as the representative to begin the process of forming a committee for the Route 57 Scenic Byway. So I am willing to do that if the council would like to appoint me.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you for taking that
on. Thank you. And the next meeting is June 8th.
Okay. And anything else?
That's all.
Ms. Conry?
I have nothing to say tonight.
Ms. Conry had asked me probably about a month ago to be like an unofficial liaison to Habitat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if there are no objections, we can appoint her as an unofficial liaison between the borough of Washington and for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, I think she would roll quite well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have to move that?
Since it's not really an official appointment to a committee that needs it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Does any objections?
Sense of the committee, I suppose.
No.
Yes. If there's any objections, now's the time to say so. I see none. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I do have one other thing, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Memorial Day. I think that we need to, just keep in mind what everything is all about on Memorial Day. And I would be remiss not to address that.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you. The one thing I have is that we had our library meeting last night. The library board has directed to go out for advertisements for a library director. It will not be a full-time position. It will be about a 29 and a half hour position to start off with. We're going to see what we get. You know, if we don't get adequate candidates or those who are willing to do it at that, we can still continue on with the agreement with the school. But we do all agree that we need a library director who gives us more hours, because the one we have has already given us over and above what she's supposed to be giving us. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have. So I accept a motion to go into executive session for potential litigation.
So potential litigation in connection with the affordable housing issue and then a matter involving the person who has some issues with the borough.
Okay. And after a 10-minute break.
Well, can we potential contract negotiations?
Sure.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think we might be talking about the same thing, but yeah.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any other
other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
We're taking a 10-minute break.
Dave.
All right, we're back in regular session. We have resolution 92-2015.
So moved. Second.
With a
$10,000.
Not to exceed.
No, not to exceed.
Any further discussion on this? Let's do a roll call on this one, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, do we have any other business this evening?
Yes.
Yeah,
make
the
motion
check.
To have a check for the amount of $385 be cut dealing
by
with the Henry issue.
And authorizing the CFO to prepare and issue the check.
Okay.
And whoever has to sign the check are authorized to sign the check.
Correct.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
All right, anything else? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Nice to see all you folks.
Nice to see you too. Nice to meet you.
Tonight was a long meeting.
I know, I think it's me.
I think it was good being here.
No. Oh, I don't think so.
July 6th, right?